It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're just days away from Wisconsin's primary election. It happens August 14th. We've invited candidates in contested primaries to talk with us on the Morning Show and on Central Time here on the Ideas Network. A handful of Republicans are facing off as they compete to run in the general election for the U.S. Senate. We talk with one of them now. What do you want to know from a candidate for U.S. Senate? What issues do you face that you want your elected official to take to Washington? 1-800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Today, we are welcoming Kevin Nicholson. He's a primary candidate for the Republican nomination in the race for United States Senator. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps in Iraq and Afghanistan. He is currently a business consultant. Nicholson is up against four other Republicans who want to take on U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin in November. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Carrie. Thanks for having me.
So let's just start with this basic question. Why do you want to be a U.S. Senator?
We're out of time as a nation. And I think that most people know that look at the numbers. You know, we say that we're $21 trillion in debt, but that's not true. If we're more honest about our long-term health care obligations and other obligations, promises made by politicians to the American people, we could be very close to $80 to $100 trillion in debt. And it's hard to conceive of what that number means. But we do know this. It makes a ton of risk into everything we do. Make it very, very unlikely that we're going to experience the growth in the future that we did just in this quarter right now if we don't take care of these problems. Likewise, too, and you mentioned I fought in two wars. I don't want anybody's kids fighting in the wars that I did. But part of that means being able to strategically invest in your defense and keep your enemies' heads down. But you can't do that if you can't pay your bills. So as we think strategically about the future, our debt is, frankly, our biggest threat to our future prosperity and our security. And again, you're not willing to go to the Senate to deal with these problems, many of which are baked into health care. We're not going to be able to have a prosperous and secure future. And when I say health care, my firm belief is that we need more market forces in health care, like price transparency, honest competition between health insurers and providers, and then also to the ability and the incentive for people to save into health care savings accounts so they can spend their money intelligently on their health care. We do that, we'll start to solve problems.
Okay, so you talk about debt. Debt has ballooned in the last couple of years under this administration. Are you against all of the spending that has gone on in the last couple of budgets?
So, look, I don't think we should be funding things by omnibus bills. I've made that pretty clear repeatedly. I mean, the way that we are doing this currently with 2,000-plus page bills launched with 48 hours notice on the United States Senate is absurd. I mean, I've talked to multiple U.S. senators who would tell you, that the current processes in place in the United States Senate are highly problematic, where senators don't see these bills until 48 hours before vote, and then can't amend them. That is a process by which we will never fix the problems that we have, because no one can actually get into the spending bills. I'll say this, the tax reform package that was passed last year is extremely helpful because it's actually encouraging economic growth. We just saw that with 4.1% GDP growth. That's the kind of growth that will actually increase revenues into the federal government over the long term, and that's what we need to do.
So when you talk about getting the debt down and you talk about health care, are you talking about Medicare? Are we going to be are you for privatizing Medicare?
Well, look, I believe this. Medicare and Medicaid, of course, as you're referring to, take up a huge chunk of the federal spend, and they're going to take up an ever-increasing chunk of the federal spend. When I talk about putting market forces into healthcare, I'm talking about healthcare writ large. We need price transparency so that you and I understand what things really cost in healthcare, whether it's pharmaceuticals or technology. There's a lot of planned healthcare expenses that people simply don't know the cost of it right now, and neither do the doctors that prescribe it. That's highly problematic. Any kind of market with opaque pricing is going to have a lot of irregularities to it. Then I mentioned again, real competition. Yes, insurers should be able to sell across state lines, but they should also be able to sell different kinds of insurance products that actually make sense for people's lives. And then, yes, healthcare savings accounts so people can save and spend intelligently. Look, that will drive down the actual prices of healthcare, and both Medicare and Medicaid will benefit from that type of market force in healthcare.
Will it make healthcare better? Well, it might drive down the prices, but will it make it better for the consumer?
Oh, almost certainly. I mean, look, it's consumer choice that allows you and me, through our rational choices and your listeners, to actually protect quality. The problem becomes when you collectivize this decision-making. So whether we're talking about government-run socialized health care, as Tammy Baldwin has advocated for, I'm not putting words in her mouth. She had rallies in the state of Wisconsin with Bernie Sanders advocating for socialized medicine. Socialized medicine looks a lot like the VA. And the VA, I've been a patient there. It's a highly problematic institution. You hear a lot about the Toma VA and the scandal that took place there with Tammy Vollen, ignoring the fact that one veteran lost his life and others were saw their health in peril. But it's a bigger problem than that because, again, government-run health care, now you're relying on actual bureaucrats to protect the quality of health care and then set the pricing. And that has never worked. The Soviets proved it with cars. It doesn't work with healthcare either.
Okay, the Toma VA thing, you make it sound like Tammy Baldwin was running the Toma VA when this issue happened. There were complaints to her. The complaints to her, there was somebody in her office who did not take the complaints as seriously as they might have been taken. But the Toma VA also has been turning around. There has been some a new administration and some good work done there. Are you seeing that?
Well, I first want to say I'm not making it sound like Tammy Baldwin was running the Toma VA. I don't play gotcha politics, and I've never, in fact, insinuated that. What I have said is, to your point, a whistleblower came directly to her office, did so because she was a Democrat, and the whistleblower was a Democrat. He wanted to share it with the Democrat. Tammy Baldwin and her staff sat on that report and quashed it. And that is not simply a matter that they didn't take it seriously enough. It's a matter that they actively quashed it. You know this, too, that she actually fined her chief of staff, which is absurd, because anyone who's ever run a business or a company knows you don't fine your chief of staff, you terminate them. My guess is that she chose not to terminate that person because that person knew quite a bit about her involvement in this scandal, too. Anytime somebody loses their life in a healthcare facility, it requires an immediate reaction. And both Tammy Baldwin and her staff absolutely failed the people there. But this is the issue with government-run healthcare. You should not be reliant on a United States senator to actually help you out with your healthcare and get between you and your doctor. That's the problem that the VA presents to so many different patients. So while the Toma VA might be in better shape than it was when it was, you know, rapidly over-prescribing opioids, The reality is that we need to get to a situation where more and more veterans can get their health care, their routine health care in particular, out on town where you and I do currently.
Okay, Kevin, we've got a lot of people who want to ask you questions here on the phones. Thomas from Milwaukee, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, Kevin. Say, I was wondering if you had thoughts on all the tech censorship that's happening and the what we now know as blatant quashing of alternative or conservative thought in big tech, which donates heavily to Democrats, et cetera. And it's sort of tough, I know, from the right side of things because, you know, you folks tend to have more free market kind of principles and are sort of skeptical of wanting to impose regulation on businesses. But these companies are looking more and more like monopolies and cartels, and I was wondering if you had thoughts on things like minimal governmental requirements to, you know, protect First Amendment rights in the way that we have the ADA and the EEOC, that kind of thing. Do you have thoughts on that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question and a good topic to bring up because as technology changes, these platforms become so important to people's expression of their First Amendment right. I mean, put simply, we don't have town criers anymore in downtown Milwaukee, you know, sharing off of a written script what's happening in the news. People are interacting and they're sharing their opinions on these platforms. And if these platforms, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case is, are, you know, exerting their own political views upon their users, we have to take that very seriously. So, I mean, look, at the inception of this, again, Thomas pointed it out, like, I'm not eager to get involved in running other people's businesses. But I do think that as we look to regulation that would force these companies to openly and very transparently declare who and where they are actually suppressing people's speech, that might be an excellent way to cause a market response. So in other words, every time Facebook or Twitter wants to ban or to shadow ban or whatever they're doing to someone with a political viewpoint they don't agree with, there should be some kind of what we in the Marine Corps would call a red star cluster that shoots up so that all other users can see what's being banned and how. That will cause a market response because you'll see quite clearly if there's a political tendency to who they're banning and how. And maybe suddenly in 4 years we have 10 Twitters instead of one. And the original Twitter goes out of business because they chose to exert their political views. That's the type of regulation I like because simply it says, do what you will, Twitter and Facebook, but we're going to know what you did, and then people can make rational choices.
We have other people on the line. Owen from Waiwaga, I can't read it. It's kind of far away. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. Kevin, I want to thank you for your service. And as a veteran, I know that you fought to protect democracy and freedom and the Constitution. As a dairy farmer in the state of Wisconsin, I am seeing the erosion of democracy, freedom, and the Constitution in the form of large corporate farms who I'm competing against, who are continuing to hire people who are not eligible voters, who are not represented by a parole because they can't vote, to do the labor of the farming, meaning they make the milk for these companies who are getting very wealthy, and these companies, in turn, are receiving benefits from taxpayers. Taxpayers don't even understand the volume that is being taken away.
Okay, we need to head to break now. Kevin Nicholson is a primary candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. We'll be back in a moment. It's The Morning Show.